Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Some breaking news this hour. Neil Pionk suspended 2 games for his knee-on-knee hit with Rasmus Sandin. And our TSN insider, Chris Johnston, told us an hour ago that he's hearing Rasmus Sandin will be out 2 to 3 weeks, which I think is a win. You know, it's not a blown ACL, blown MCL surgery. It's 2-3 weeks, so take that for what it's worth. Charlie horse, knee sprain, whatever. And I think that's a win. We'll wait to see what happens with Jason Spezza and his hearing and how many games he's going to get. He's going to get more than Neil Pionk. And DeMar DeRozan in health and safety COVID protocol in the NBA. We had Bobby Marks on from ESPN. He said, gear up, man. They're testing a lot more now. They're looking for it. And there are going to be a lot of guys who are going into the health and safety protocol in the NBA. So
I find it crazy, man. It's like, I don't know. I was talking with just a neighbor in my elevator, and it was like, didn't think we'd be here at this particular point. 2 years later, and it's still like, I don't know.
2022 coming up, and no one's willing to say it's going to be the best year ever. Like, no one, I don't know how to brace for a new year. I didn't know what, I thought 2021 would be the end of it. It's not. It's still here.
No, and so, when you really think about things, it's like 2022, it's like, really? Is it going to go away in 1 year again? No. So, I don't know. It's, let's move on. I can't even think about it.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
Sucks. Yeah, it sucks. So, anyway, the Leafs only get a point over the weekend, but showed a lot of resiliency. Great game in Minnesota on Saturday. Last night showed a lot of fight and bite and came back and, you know, literally were getting in tilts and throwing their body around, and I think it was a quality response. I think for a one-point weekend, that was a very positive weekend for the Leafs. And we got a big Monday nighter tonight. This is as big as it gets. The Bills at home against the Patriots. The Bills are laying 3. I'm seeing video from Buffalo, and it looks like Buffalo in December. It's windy. It's cold. It's snowing. Feels like it might be one of those gross games. There it is up on TSN, too. Like, look at that flag moving. Man, it has been so windy in Toronto, too, the last couple of weeks.
Dude, I don't know how people do that. Like, Sarah Oleski was in Winnipeg yesterday, and she was freezing. Freezing, and one of the dudes was out there with no shirt on warming up, and I'm sure he was probably doing that for some attention, and he got it, but it's like, I can't do anything in that weather. Like, I can't play a sport, and I'm not doing it. Like, I
have such a huge amount of respect.
I am so gutless when it comes to that weather. I can't play sports in that weather.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm soft as butter when it comes to the weather, and I know that's, you know, I'm not Canadian enough or whatever. I've lived here my whole life. I swear I was built to live in the Caribbean or something. Like, I'm watching that golf over the weekend. I'm like, look at this. Shorts, flip-flops, T-shirt.
Yeah. I went to an outdoor game at the World Juniors in Buffalo, USA, Canada. And it was cold and snowing sideways. And I met my wife after the game, and I was like, what did you think of that experience? Because she was outdoors. She said, I flat out had to go. I went to a restaurant down the street after, like, the first period.
I know.
It's and I didn't blame her at all. I'm like, sitting in that, oh, no way.
Oh, it's such commitment. I have such a huge appreciation for people that do it. Like, the outdoor, tonight, that building in Buffalo will be packed.
Yeah.
And there will be someone without a shirt on. Someone will be in the crowd to get on ESPN tonight, and they will, with no tarp on. And the Manning cast is back tonight. You see they got David Letterman on. And I found it interesting. They have Joe Buck. So, like, if you're Steve Levy calling a game, wouldn't you be like, Buck, what are you doing? Like, don't we have some sort of a pact here? Like, are you trying to steal my limelight here? I'm calling the game on ESPN, and you're over with
the
Mannings.
Like, isn't it like competing networks, and it's bizarre? Like, isn't that...
They don't do that down in the States, though. They don't care. Like, people go on every network down. That's a specifically Canadian thing more than anything. But I guess, Buck's a big name. He's a celebrity. He's obviously called a million games from Eli and Peyton and knows the NFL inside out. But
I'm actually somewhat surprised that he would kind of say yeah to it. I bet you Steve Levy would say, nah, that's his broadcast, that's his game. Like, I don't even want to go anywhere near that.
Right.
Some kind of code of conduct between, like, play-by-play guys. I don't
know. It's like a sandbagging in a way. Like, hey, come watch Joe Buck from Fox. Don't listen to Steve Levy call the game. But That's it. Like, I like Buck, and I'm probably going to check it out. Letterman, we'll see what he's got. I don't. What is David Letterman going to be like?
Dude,
with
I have zero. I used to love watching Letterman, but during a football game, I don't watch that. That Manning thing, I'm sorry. I know things are different with the way people want to view sports. I could care less to watch that. I want to hear Steve Levy, not just because he's a buddy of mine, but I just want to see the football game. That's it. The whole sideshow, I don't care for it. Maybe that's just an old school mentality.
I think it's compelling. I couldn't possibly watch a full game via the Manning cast, but I don't think that's what it's there for. It's
dude,
to kind
I can't
of
flip even
back
flip
and there.
No, I can't flip. I can't say oh, I want to hear what Letterman.
I flip.
You're gonna flip for Letterman?
No, I'm not as big of a Letterman fan as others. I don't find him funny. I've never found Letterman that funny. So that's. You know, I think he's very dry and, you know, I don't know how in touch he is with what's going on anymore. Is he a football fan? Not that it matters. He's an interesting, lifelong celebrity and comic.
He is, but he could say nothing that would interest me right now at this particular point.
Yeah, I'm not dying to hear David Letterman tonight. Yeah, I was never a big enough fan where it's like, oh, Letterman's on. I got to see it. You know what I mean? Where, like, if you put Dave Chappelle on or something, I'd be like, okay, maybe we'll check that out. Or, you know, Chris Rock or some massive celebrity, Jerry Seinfeld. If Seinfeld was on or Larry David, I'd be like, I got to check that out for sure. But, you know, Letterman's not the guy that I didn't idolize Letterman like others. I don't find him hysterical, and I don't expect that he will be hysterical tonight. So I'll be watching the ball game, and it's such a big ball game. I think the Manning cast is perfect when you've got two brutal teams in a blowout. Go check out what they're doing. I don't think that's going to be the case tonight. And you guys have the game tonight, and it is a doozy with the Bills at home against the Patriots. And the Monday night NFL pick is back and is brought to you by BookSeats.com. Get on Instagram and visit at BookSeats.com. That's at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Let's bring in Al's brother. He's in studio, and he looks marvelous. He's feeling good. You were down at the Argos game too, Al's brother. Were you causing issues down there, picking fights?
Or? I was not picking fights. No. I behaved myself. I may have got a couple of beers, but I behaved myself, that's for sure.
What was the atmosphere like down there?
Pretty good, actually. Like, it was. It was very heavily Hamilton. Like, there was a lot of Ticats fans down there. I took the train in from Burlington as well, and there were so many Tabbies fans taking it in.
Oh, yeah.
It was filled with Tabbies
you
fans.
Knew it.
So, you know, they travel well. Like, they love their football in Hamilton. So I wasn't too surprised to see that. But it was nice to see, like, a big full stadium at BMO for an Argo game.
Yeah, although, to your point, I mean, you needed the opposition to do it for you. It's like a game in Vegas or a Chargers game. You know, that's basically what the Argos are. They're the Chargers. And if the Ticats are playing, then you'll get a packed house and people coming in from Hamilton. But you're right, though, in terms of it deserved that level of ambiance and atmosphere because it was a big game. East final. And the Argos had it, man. They were 12-0 at the half. That play by Evans to close the first half was one of the greatest plays in football.
Oh, the
history.
Fumble just totally scooped the ball out.
Unbelievable.
It was like, what? What just happened there? I know. I was cheering. I was like, go, go. Thought he was going to take it in. A fumble six. Next thing you know, Evans has the ball.
A knee and the rest is history. Yeah, exactly. You're talking about adjustments, man. Hamilton made them at the half. And credit to them. And they'll play the Blue Bombers in the World Cup next week. But as for the game tonight, the weather down in your neck of the woods, Al's brother, it looks ugly, windy, snowy. How is this affecting your viewpoint of the game tonight?
Oh, it is. It certainly is. And you guys were talking about it earlier. You remember that game a couple of years back, the Snowmageddon game between the Colts and the Bills?
Yes.
I was there.
LeSean McCoy. You were at that game.
Shady with the walk-off winner. I was at that game. I was in the end zone.
Al's brother.
Oh, was it ever cold. Oh, my feet legitimately, I couldn't feel them for 3 days. Like, I'm surprised I didn't get frostbite. Maybe I did. I don't know. But that was
against Indianapolis? That was the Colts they were playing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a good, I mean, it was a fun experience, but I do never want to do that again. Never again.
Right. Yeah. I had a similar one with the New Year's Day game when the Leafs played the Red Wings. And for a January 1st, it was actually great weather. It was sunny. It was about zero, give or take. But I had been outside for 4 hours because we got there early and then we stuck around late. I was so miserable by the end of it. I'm like, I just can't do this. Like, I'll do a one-off, but I couldn't do this every week.
Brian, I was I think 8 rows up from the end zone. Like, I had really good seats. I got them super cheap, too, because of the weather. But I was really close, and I could not see past midfield. The ball was on the other side of the field. Even at midfield, the ball was there. I couldn't see the play. Like, I legitimately couldn't see anything.
That's crazy.
Insane. Yeah, insane.
That's not even a true viewing experience, I guess. I mean, it's a life moment.
That's all it is. Well, it's just like I was there. I was at that game.
Yeah, and everybody knows that game. Like, remember Vinatieri and the lineman kicking to try and get the field goal? Remember you see all the big boys out snow? And oh, it was a wild scene, I could tell you that. And,
big win. Big win for the Bills.
And then Shady walked it off, which hurt me, a Colts fan. But I'm sure the home crowd, the Buffalo, Bills Mafia was stoked about it.
Absolutely, as they should be. So with that in mind, Els, brother, I don't think it's supposed to be as bad tonight. It's not going to be Snowmageddon. It's not going to be so carried away that they can't play. But it's going to be ugly. I'm expecting a lower-scoring game because of the elements. Like I think kind of like it was last night. They were saying that during the telecast. The wind was so bad in Kansas City. Maybe that's what was affecting it. Maybe it's that Teddy Bridgewater just isn't that good of a quarterback. Who knows? But what do you make of the game tonight based on the elements and what's at stake here? Where I think the pressure is almost 100% on the Buffalo Bills tonight.
Oh, I totally agree. I think it's absolutely on Buffalo, and they got to get this win. I mean, they don't win this game, I think their chance of winning this division almost diminished. There's still a chance, but I think I saw the Patriots, they win this game. They have a 65% chance of winning the division. Clearly, Buffalo doesn't want to have to do that. But look, they're 4-1 at home against teams with a winning record. So they've got that going for them. I think it's a must-win. Josh Allen typically plays really well on Monday nights. And he's got that zip on that ball. So he might be able to cut through some of that wind. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be, just like you said, a low-scoring slog of a game. I think the weather, the elements are going to force the Bills to have to run the ball a little bit more than they want to. And that plays right into the hands of the New England Patriots. They're just going to keep running the ball. They've got a nice little two-headed monster. And then just have Mac Jones just kind of sit back and protect the football. And that's something that Josh Allen has not been doing the last little bit. He's got like 7 picks in his last 4 games going up against a defense that is number 2 overall in takeaways. I think Bill Belichick's got some stuff up his sleeve. Ooh. I'm taking the points. I'm taking the road dogs.
Al's Pats +3. I swear you were on the Bills last week. Now you've decided you're going with the Pats and you're taking the points, New England and Buffalo. So the mystery pick is in. It has been shot. I don't know who the person is. I don't know what the pick is. And I don't know if it's going to matter come this time tomorrow, because as we established on Thursday, the O-Dog has the opportunity now to either put the hat on and stick with the pick courtesy of Al's brother, or throw the hat at the camera and out of the picture and take the mystery pick, which also could be the Pats.
Could be.
Right? Could be the Patriots. So with that in mind.
So let me clarify. I have the option again this Monday to go with the mystery pick.
Yes.
Okay. Last week, I raised my computer up and I came up with the hat or without the hat. If I want the mystery pick, I throw the hat towards the camera.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
The hat goes on if you're taking the pick courtesy of Al's brother, which would be the Pats +3. The hat gets tossed if it's the mystery box.
Keep in mind, Patriots, winners of 6 in a row, 4-1 against the spread on the road. Just a couple more little things for you there, O.
Oh, the hat has been tossed.
I am not taking your nonsense twice in a row.
They're your Patriots, O. They're your Patriots.
No. I am not going with you again. You've let me down too many times, and I'm going with the mystery pick.
The mystery pick has been activated. I'm so excited about this because we have no idea who it is. We don't know who they've picked, but we'll find out tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So we're going into the game blind. We have not done this at any point. Could be on the Pats, for all you know. Maybe you're on the Bills. I love your line of thinking, though. You have been – you talk about the boy that cries wolf. You've heard it for 13 weeks. Al's brother, yes, you picked a winner on Thursday, Al's brother. You went 2-1 yesterday.
You can't buy it again. You can't buy it again.
You just – at some point, you hit a wall. That has been consistent throughout the season. You can't deny that, Al's brother. I think his logic is reasonable at this point.
Well, you've been saying that I'm going to turn it around, and I feel good. I feel good to turn it around. I got some tremendous information here.
Yeah,
I truly believe this is going to be a tight one. I can see this one coming down to a last-second field goal. It's a divisional game with basically the division on the line. This means so much to both teams. It's going to be close. It's going to be low-scoring. I think it'll be decided by a field goal, which means the Pats with the 3 points are the correct pick. Oh, let's just hope. Let's just hope that you didn't just give it away by taking the mystery pick.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow who the mystery pick is, like who it came from and who they picked. I wish you took Al's brother tonight. I like the Bills tonight. I think this is set up for the Bills at home under the lights, Monday Night Football. The elements concern me a little bit because I do think it keeps it closer. It might benefit the better defense, which is certainly in New England at this point. But I think the pressure's on the Bills, and I think they're going to step up. I think they're better than they've played in past weeks. I like their game down in on Thanksgiving, and I think they're a pretty good team. I think they're a really good team. I think they start to get back up into the cream of the crop conversation with a win tonight. So I wish you actually took Al's brother's pick. I want to be on the Bills tonight. Now I'm nervous because I'm going in blind. I don't know if it's a Beansy pick or not tonight, and we won't find out until tomorrow at 4 o'clock. So.
I'll tell you what, I get screwed once by the mystery. I'm done with it. as much as I'll be done with Al's brother, the mystery pick, and just don't even bother taking
what
it.
What pressure you've put on whoever's taken whoever it is.
If they take the loser, and if they go Bills and the Patriots win, I'm never going to let you live. This will be worse. Than the Colts. This will be worse than the Colts when you took the Ravens.
You burn
the
hat on the desk. You burn the Al Dog hat on the desk.
That might have to happen.
It's a wall squat deuce and toss into the hat.
That's what it is. This is Rikishi. What would you call it? The Rikishi. Wall squat?
That's
what that would do. This is basically you Rikishiing wall squatting me in the middle of the ring. That's what you just did to me.
I don't think we need that reference.
It's very true, though. You did just hit Al's brother with the wall squat. I mean, that's a finishing move. You basically just you hit him with the wall squat. And now you're taking the mystery box with a mystery picker and a mystery pick. And I don't know what to make of it. But it's going to be one hell of a game, and I guess we'll see. Best of luck. That's all we can say. The Monday Night NFL Pick is back and brought to you by BookSeats.com. Jump on Instagram and visit at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway, BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Al's brother, you feeling good about the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, you love the fact that I took Denver on Friday.
I did.
Turned out to be a winner, but I'm trying to figure out who the best team is in the AFC, and I don't have an answer right now.
I feel much better about the Chiefs. I mean, the way that defense is playing right now, like they really got something cooking right now. Something has clicked with that defense. They moved Jones back in. They finally have a pass rush. And like L'Jarius Sneed is turning out to be quite a player. Even Sorensen made a nice pick last night.
Yeah,
whereas earlier in the season, everyone was trying to get rid of this guy. So things are starting to come up rosy for that defense somehow, some way. It's the offense that is holding this team back right now. You got to think that they pick it up, though. And if they can pick it up, that's a scary team. I like the Chiefs going forward.
Yeah, it is. I'm seeing the ESPN, the panels in Buffalo, like they're literally getting blown off their seats. It's so windy there.
Well, when we showed that viz, you saw the post. It literally looked like they're about to shake off of, out of the ground. It was crazy.
So nice, the game I did there, the World Junior game. We had a suite. We were indoors. It was like, you don't need the panel out there freezing.
But that's
doesn't
what they
add
do. They're
to
on the
anything.
Field. They're on
no,
the field.
No, it doesn't that's, add to anything.
You
man.
Do it. I think it does. I think it. I give them credit. Like Susie Colbert, I think, is out there and. Who else do they got? Alex Smith.
Duffy does the same thing for the CFL games. He says they got heaters blowing at their feet and everything. So it's not.
JD's
I don't think
not,
it's that bad.
He's not living the true Winnipeg lifestyle out there yesterday.
No.
I can guarantee you that. He's staying warm. These guys are staying warm in the breaks. But if you're going to do it when you're in Jacksonville or down in Miami or Arizona, if you're up in Buffalo, man, you want to be on the field, you got to be on the field. It's got to be consistent. But I wonder what this means for field goal kickers tonight. Like I'm going up against Nick Folk actually in my fantasy, and I don't know if Belichick's even going to kick tonight, Or
that's a good point. Maybe this game won't come down to a field goal.
Now, it might not.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah, it might
not. Who's going to kick a field goal?
Who's going to kick? They might go for two. They might the whole cross the whole beaten path here because of the wind being so bad. So we'll see. All right, Al's brother. I guess good luck tonight. I don't know what to make of your pick because you've basically been neutralized here.
I still want What would be perfect is a Buffalo win, but a Pats cover. It's like a 1 or 2 point Bills victory.
That's right.
That's what I want.
That's right. Well, we'll see what comes of it tonight. Al's brother, all the best, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Sounds good.
There he is, our buddy Al's brother. Marcellus Wiley still to come. We'll get him his take on the game tonight. We'll get his take on a number of things throughout the NFL. Back into the Leafs, back into the Rasmus Sandin scenario. What's going to happen with Jason Spezza? Leafs are back in action tomorrow. The Raps with a big win yesterday as well. Lots going on in the sports world. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away this week. Leafs taking on St. Louis Thursday, December 23rd. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, the first of the week. This Maple Leaf was drafted in the first round, but not by the Maple Leafs. Okay. Could be a lot of potential options there.
Could See, I like the clue, but it's like, give the person an option.
It's day one, though. You can't make it too obvious day
Hear
one.
Hear me out. Hear me out. Give okay. the person an option to call in day one and say, I got it.
Here's the thing about that. Where do you draw the line on how many calls you accept? Because if 3,000 people call, chances are someone's going to hit it. Right? Do you accept one call? Like whoever gets in, the first one to get in, that's it. You have one shot, one person. Because you can't just open up the lines. Grappler will be here till midnight. People will be calling in claiming it's their first time calling. And you know what I'm saying?
Well, then just give one clue on Friday and then okay. just see what happens.
Could be anyway. Anyone. Could be you again. Could be you. Could be Matt Sundin. Could be Owen Nolan. Well, I think Nolan was just a couple of weeks ago, so probably not. Anyway, we got a big Monday nighter tonight. Bills at home against the Patriots. The wind, it looks extreme online. Like we're seeing weather reports of ESPN doing shots like their panel on the field, and these guys are just trying to stay on their chairs. Probably some embellishment, I would think, but sheets are flying around, goalposts are moving, the flags are waving. It's going nuts down there. And we got a guy on the line who's familiar with playing in Buffalo. Spent a lot of time there from FS1, longtime NFLer. Here's our buddy Marcellus Wiley. With the wind potentially being such a factor tonight, Marcellus, does that make you lean one way or the other? Does it favor the Bills, the Patriots, or does it not matter?
Oh, man, this matchup right here, I don't think it will matter because you drafted Josh Allen, the big strong football, to cut through those conditions and cut through that wind. But just by the play calling and by the structure of the offense from New England, they play it very close to the vest. Despite Mac Jones having a lot of passing attempts and completions over 20-plus yards, they know how to go out there and play methodically and play close to the best football, play it very efficiently. So just because of the styles and the matchup of styles, I think it's going to be a draw in terms of these conditions. But then it's going to come down to what other factors come into play. Which defense shows up, and we know consistently it's been New England this year, more so than even Buffalo, who may still be a stronger defense on paper. But then...
Okay, let's throw him on hold. It got cracking there right off the bat, man. I'm not sure Marcellus is going to make this one. It sounds like he's in Buffalo trying to grind through the weather.
He's sitting beside Susie Culber outside.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So we'll call him back. We'll see if we can get him back. But, yeah, I mean, this is pressure for Josh Allen, pressure for the Bills. I've been saying it all day. I think it's almost 100% pressure on them. But the way Belichick operates, he won't let his team off the hook. He's not going to let his team think that they don't have pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, they're fighting for respect. They're fighting for first overall in the AFC East. Top seed in the AFC is up for grabs. I think we got Marcellus back. And you're just talking about these two quarterbacks and the offense and the structure. And what do you think the message is from Belichick here in terms of what maybe the Patriots can prove with a win tonight in Buffalo?
Yeah, sorry, guys. The conditions, I guess, in Buffalo affected me here in L.A. as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what's going on. Either that or I need to pay my cell phone bill earlier. But the point is, I think for the New England Patriots, this is just for them to return to who they were in terms of the psyche, in terms of the dominance in that division. They had that one-year hiatus where Buffalo was able to establish their dominance. But it's interesting, the statistic about the Buffalo Bills having beaten the Patriots three straight times since 1999-2000. And headline news, that's when I was a Buffalo Bills. That was a long time ago. So in terms of the Patriots establishing dominance is well documented. But for the Buffalo Bills, for them to have a continued dominance of greatness against the New England Patriots, we haven't seen that over two decades. So I think it's one of those mental chess matches where, hey, it's not just about the score, it's not just about the performance, but hey, let's remind you who we are. And that's going to pay dividends for both squads, especially for the Patriots.
Marcellus, you born and raised in L.A.?
Yes, sir.
What was your reaction, your first time showing up? I don't even know when it was, college or high school. When you showed up in the conditions like Buffalo, were you like, what the hell is this? Or just what's the general reaction from somebody that's from an area where you never see it?
Yeah, you know, the first time is actually just pure excitement. You just see it on television, Christmas specials, whatever it may be in the movies, and you're like, wow, just something different. So when I first experienced it, it was in college when I went to New York, and I remember landing off the plane and immediately just in a T-shirt and shorts and just running around in 30-some degrees loving life. And then that quickly turned upside down as I started to get used to the snow and used to the cold, and you realize, ah, man, this is cold. But the first time, you're just there, pure joy, maybe pure adrenaline. You're just excited. But as a player, it was funny being on the Buffalo Bills and watching teams struggle when they came to Buffalo. And I remember talking to, you know, players on the other team and your boys on the other squad. You're like, dude, I'm not used to this either. It's cold to me, too. But as a collective, I think that we were able to handle it better than our opponents just because we had to go through the practice week, and we had to go through those rigors week in and week out, especially when it got cold December time. But I don't really think there's a performance advantage. I think it's just whoever can get acclimated mentally the fastest is the one who has the psychological edge.
With Marcellus Wiley, what did you make of John Harbaugh and the Ravens going for two at the end of the game in Pittsburgh yesterday?
Like Mike Thomas said, it was predictable, obvious, and I think it was the right decision, but obviously not the right result. In that moment, they just had the right play call, and more importantly, just the right performer out there in T.J. Watt, and you saw it. Like, that affected the throw. That was one of those throws that you're not supposed to lead the man. You're supposed to stick it to the man, and Mark Andrews running a flare route. It's interesting, if you really break the play down in slow motion and look at it mentally, you start to realize what broke down. It was the fact that there was pressure right in the face of Lamar Jackson. He had to throw a sidearm. But more importantly, he threw a sidearm to a tight end. That's not a running back. That's not a wide receiver. As great as Andrews is, if you watch him flip his hips as he turns his head around to look for the pass, you can watch him slow down in those moments, in those motions, because no matter how athletic a tight end is, he's still a big dude, and he slows down at a rapid rate compared to other fast guys. And when that calculation got off course because there was pressure in the face of Lamar Jackson, he just let him, when really that's just where you're supposed to throw the ball to anybody else who's fast in that moment. But it was a tight end who turned around and looked, and you can see him just take two, maybe three steps, a little slower than the pace that was expected. So it's a game of inches, man, and it's also just a game of little milliseconds and micro moments. And it's unfortunate because I was excited. I thought they had won that game, and boy, did I have some egg on my face soon after.
Marcellus, all the NFL shows, all the pundits, they're talking about who's the real deal, like Green Bay, Kansas City, Tampa Bay pops up. Arizona is 10-2. Do you think they get enough love? Are they for real? What kind of damage they can do? Or are they just a team that has a good record and somebody disposes of them quickly in the playoffs?
Man, I think everything you said is true, and that's the problem. Are they real? Yes. Are they getting enough respect? Yes. And that respect, you got to think about it, is appropriate because it's a team that we're not going to gloat over just because we haven't seen them together in the playoffs. So whatever we're saying in terms of they're not getting the full amount of attention, I think is appropriate. Like, there's still a huge question mark. Cliff Kingsbury in the playoffs in the NFL, no one knows. Kyler Murray in the playoffs, no one knows. That relationship and how it's going to play out when they hit some rocky roads and some moments in the playoffs. Every team faces it. The playoffs is different than the regular season because in the playoffs, you make a team play according to their plan B. And what's the plan B for the Cardinals if they face that adversity? I think that big unknown is why you just don't see everyone lauding over this team. Even though we know that they're real, we know that they're good, it's just a different season. Preseason's different than regular season. Regular season's different than the postseason. So until we can see this team really be measured against the best when it matters most, I think there's always going to be a little reservation.
So I feel like we bring up Detroit way too often, considering they never win. They're so irrelevant. They have been irrelevant for
so long.
They're
hot. They're hot.
They're on a streak, though, now, right? They got a tie a few weeks ago. They got a win. And listen, full credit to Dan Campbell, Jared Goff, everyone on that team, everyone in that town. Reason to celebrate. You got yourself a win. You avoid going winless. And I guess that means something. But it says more about their reputation and how they are perceived league-wide. When the team that loses to them, immediately everyone's like, the coach has got to be fired. The GM's got to be fired. The quarterback needs to be left in the corner and not on the flight home. Like, many, I know a few Vikings fans, they are going postal. They are going nuts. And I can't really argue with them, Marcellus. I mean, you can't lose to Detroit and be considered a legit contender. And that's, the Vikings proved who they were yesterday.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the Vikings have been an interesting roller coaster ride for them. We all know the talent level, but we've seen the injuries and we've seen some great performances and not so great. But people got to remind themselves and keep in perspective, it's a game of inches. And that said, there were, what, 5 one-score defeats for the Detroit Lions. And in 2 other games, you saw them close. They gave Baltimore all they can handle. And you talk about the Pittsburgh game and you tie. Like, you got to remember that. I tell people all the time in the NFL, because it's interesting, it's nothing but the all-star game of the all-stars. So everyone in the NFL is a black belt. It's just different degrees of that black belt. So when you see a football team, Detroit Lions, people forget there may be a Hall of Famer on there, a few Pro Bowlers, a couple All-Pros, and a bunch of All-Americans from college. Like, they're not sorry. And I remember when I left Columbia, and I got to the NFL, and I'm in Buffalo in the locker room and talking to all the guys. They're like, man, you made it from the Ivy League. You made it from Columbia. I know you had like 5 sacks a game. And I reminded them, like, no, actually, those guys put up a fight as well. And it's the same thing when you talk about a team with a bad collective record. Remind yourself of those individuals. They're going to put up a fight. So even if you win that fight, you're going to know that you've been in the battle, and you're going to know you've been scratched and nicked up.
There's some suffering for the Vikings fans, Marcellus, and there is suffering for Giants fans. I mean, where do you go from firing your offensive coordinator to follow that up with putting up a 9 spot against the Dolphins? Like, what do you do as an organization to, like, just to move forward? I think we all know the answer, but did they pull the trigger on it?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks in New York, whether it's, you know, the coaching situation. Some still have their doubts, obviously, at the quarterback position because of performance and injury. You have your question marks. And then more importantly, just to stabilize the ship. And then you look at a situation where you start to fire guys. Like, coaches know that that's a predictable move to save themselves and to give themselves a mulligan or at least some cushion while they figure things out. So all of this is going on schedule in terms of when a team is really struggling, the moves that they make to give themselves runway and to give themselves opportunity to right the ship. Oh, man, it's a struggle fest out there. It's funny, Detroit has the worst record, but of all the lowly teams, might be in the best situation outside of Jacksonville because they have a coach and they obviously have a franchise quarterback. But, man, you can look at the New York Giants situation. You look at the New York Jets situation. You can look at a bunch of places and you're like, I'd rather be Detroit. That's at least a scrappy bunch, a fiery bunch. They have talent. They play hard for their coach. And it seems like they're glued together. So it's going to be interesting how it all plays out.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Giants, but on the flip side of that is Miami. And all of a sudden, and now their schedule has not been good. They play the Giants, the Jets, they play the Texans. But they beat the Ravens, beat the Panthers. They've won 5 in a row, and Tua looks pretty good. Like, Tua looks good, and I don't know how you react if you're in Miami because it was such a tire fire to start. But Brian Flores, I think he's a pretty good coach. Awful first 6-7 weeks, but
and he's backed them all year whenever asked about it. Hayes.
And always back to it, and you kind of have to, don't you, Marcellus? I mean, they drafted him a year ago. It's not like this guy's been in the league for 5 or 6 years. you got to give Tua some runway.
Definitely. I think that the jury is out on Tua for some strange reason. I don't think he's been given a fair deal in terms of coming off a major injury his rookie year. Still going out there going 6-3 in that same rookie year. Tons of question marks, basically on the trading block. All but said and gone until the midnight hour, and then finally you say, oh, you know what? You are our future. You are our franchise quarterback. But was that really out of reluctance? Was that really out of default, or was that really your true desires? And you look at it, he wasn't voted captain, so there's a lot of conversation about Tua the player and Tua the leader. But he's been able to right the ship, and more importantly, so has Brian Flores, who I don't think there are question marks about. It's just about how consistent can he be in getting his bunch ready to play, because I think he's a damn good coach. All that adds up to a situation where now you look, you're like Miami, when you keep Tua in his comfort zone, when you just unroll slowly the playbook for him instead of saying, hey, here are all the chapters, here are all the volumes, just play at will, I think you can see a much more efficient team and much more efficient and valuable Tua. So I think Miami is going to stay pat. They're going to go with Tua next year. And it'd be interesting to see an offseason committed to Tua, not trade rumors, not issues, not conversation about how he's inadequate, but real support to see how far it takes.
Sticking in Florida, we'll get you out of here on a gratuitous Tom Brady question, because he is leading the league in passing yards and touchdowns. He's thrown 35 touchdowns this season. I got to believe he's the MVP if it gets handed out today. And they're going to be in a battle, not so much in the division, but chasing that top seed in the NFC. I don't think he's going to take his foot off the gas. I think what will be intriguing is what happens with Antonio Brown in 3 weeks, because a lot of people are suggesting that Bruce Arians just should have cut him immediately, should have cut him immediately. And I think it's pretty clear why he didn't, because he's got to run it past Tom. And I think the way Tom's playing right now, I would expect Tom wins that battle. Who do you think will win it if it comes down to it? Arians wants to cut Brown. Brady wants to keep him. What happens with Antonio Brown?
Oh, he stays. He's proven that he's valuable. Yeah, he proved that he was valuable last year in the Super Bowl. What was those 3 touchdown passes were to Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski, one who was retired and one who had found himself out the favor of the NFL but then came back and proved his value. When people say that, oh, man, they make these absolute statements, oh, we're going to get rid of you. You're on the zero tolerance policy. They're talking to you if you're playing average. They're talking to you if you are staying as advertised. When as soon as you increase that value and as soon as you change our perception one way, we change our perception the other way. So now all of a sudden you start to have more than 3 strikes. You get 4 strikes. You get 5 strikes. You get foul balls. You just stay at the plate. You dig yourself out of this because you're able to show that you have value. Like, you could go get a choir boy if you want, but can he catch touchdowns? Can he get open? So I think that Bruce Arians made that statement expecting one level of Antonio Brown, and Antonio Brown changed the reality and perception of that expectation. Now you just got to be quiet and sit on your sword and basically act like Tom Brady forced you to do it. When in reality, I think it's just the performance of Antonio Brown forced everyone to say come back.
Great stuff, buddy. As always, it's going to be a fun ball game tonight. Enjoy it. We'll do it again next week.
All right, brothers, take care. This is do it.
Can't wait for it. Marcellus Wiley of FS1, longtime NFLer, former Buffalo Bill. And, yeah, Tom Brady, 35 touchdowns, leading the league in passing yards. And I think if the MVP gets handed out tonight, he wins it. And I think, you know, what's he got, 4 more games to go? There's no reason to believe he's going to slow down.
I think if it was like, because it's Tom Brady, I think people tend to look elsewhere, want to find something different. Like, if that was Herbert that was having, it would be like slam dunk. It's like, this is his year, nobody's touching him.
Right.
Or a guy like Russ, or I don't know.
Even Josh Allen or whoever, yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy G, it's like, this guy's the MVP. But it's like, when it's Brady, it's like, maybe we'll sniff around and find something else. We want to look elsewhere. Like, hands down, they'd be talking about it. This is his to lose. For sure.
I agree with you, and I would suggest it should be the complete opposite because of his age. At 44, he should get the benefit of the doubt. Ty should go to Brady, but it will be the opposite. Ty will go to fresh blood, someone new. But at 44, forget Ty. Within the ballpark should go to Brady at 44 years old. because it's just remarkable. This guy wins a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl MVP, and now this year probably going to follow it up with an MVP or certainly be in contention and go back to the playoffs and at least at a minimum host the playoff game, possibly end up with the top seed, although Arizona doesn't appear to be slowing down. But it's incredible what he's doing. And, you know, they've had injuries. Gronk has been out for significant portions of the season. Antonio Brown's been hurt. They've established a run game. Run game's been very quality for them as well. They're a well-oiled machine offensively down in Tampa.
Did you catch Marcellus, his Shaq reference?
No. What did he say?
Back in the day, Shaq called Sacramento in the playoffs. Instead of calling him the Sacramento Kings, he called them the Sacramento Queens.
Right.
So the coach of Arizona, Cliffy Kingsbury, he called him Cliffy Queensberry.
Oh, okay. I did not pick up on that reference.
Yeah, he was like, the coach in the playoffs is Cliff Queensberry. And I was like, that didn't sound weird to me. I'm like, that's a Shaq reference.
That's Shaq. That's right.
Because Shaq called the Sacramento Kings the Sacramento Queens. So he called the head coach Cliffy Queensberry.
Well, let's see if that's the case come playoff time, because Arizona's going. They're going. And they might be the top
seed.
They're
good, man.
They're really good. And they got Kyler Murray back and DeAndre Hopkins.
They were winning without him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they beat Seattle without him. Look at Seattle. They stopped the bleeding, right? They beat San Francisco yesterday, back in the winning circle. It doesn't matter. They're not going to get back into contention.
No.
But, yeah, I don't know. This is the NFL in a nutshell. Detroit gets a win. Who knows what to expect out of the game tonight? We're week 13. We got a bunch of more games still to be played, and the playoffs are a month away. So it's go time, man. It's time to put your foot down and start to gear up if you want to be considered a legitimate playoff team and Super Bowl contender. And I think that certainly applies tonight in Buffalo.
I was watching Pitt, and I think that, like, Pitt-Baltimore, it's like this cold weather division and always kind of low scoring. And it's like, I remember that as a kid. You're watching football at this time and it's like the cold and not much going on. I would rather Brady down in Florida, like high-flying offense. I don't like that cold, grinded out. And I know the purist would say, I love every second of it, but no.
I like a mixture. I like a combination of both. That's what I think makes the NFL so great, is that you get a combination of both based on the weather, status throughout the United States, where you could get a game in Miami tonight where it would feel like 28 and they'd be out cruising, or an indoor game, or it could be a game in Buffalo where it's going to be outrageous. And I like the fact that it's a combination and the elements change it up, right? It's like a TV show. You can't have the same script. You want it to be a little bit different. Not all the time. And I understand what you're saying specifically with like a Super Bowl. You want it on turf or in L.A. and somewhat of a controlled environment. But I think tonight will be fun. I think it'll be nasty. Belichick will be out there. He'll have a hoodie on the whole night. He'll look miserable. Yeah, it'll be great. We'll come back, tee that game up again. Again, get back into the Leaf news from today. A lot of Leaf and NHL news for that matter. Coaches getting fired. GM's getting fired. It's been a wild 24 hours. In the NHL, Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so we're still waiting on Jason Spezza and what's going to happen with his suspension. He's going to be suspended. We know that. Neil Pionk got 2 games for his knee-on-knee hit with Rasmus Sandin. That came out quick. Happened last night by 5 o'clock. That news was out. And Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider, told us about 2 hours ago that he's hearing 2 to 3 weeks for Rasmus Sandin. So Spez will be out. Sandin will be out. They're not going to rush Marner back. He may not play tomorrow.
But Sandin's taken some strides this year. He's a valuable player. Like he's good.
Been good. Yeah, he's been good. He looks bigger. He's more physically engaged. And he's a confident player. So I've liked his game a lot. You know, I think it's a good thing that he's not forced up the lineup. Like, this is actually perfect for him. You know, Riley and Muzzin are playing ahead of him on the left side. Let him just ease into his career.
Yeah.
Right?
I think Randy Carlyle said, give it the young defenseman 300 games. Imagine this kid after 300. Like, he'll be dialed in.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're locked in on Riley, clearly. Muzzin's here for a few more years. Brody for a couple more. But you've got Sandin under control. You're in a pretty good spot. You know, I don't know the future of Hall and Liljegren and Dermott. I think are undecided. We'll see. But at least they're in a pretty good spot from that end for sure. So they're back in action tomorrow night. We'll tee that up tomorrow. Raptors will be back in action with Oklahoma City in town on Wednesday. So that one should be a W for the Raps, you would hope, considering the history of Oklahoma City. And we got a Monday nighter tonight, and this is the first on the show. The mystery pick has been activated. We're going in blind. You don't know who you picked tonight. You don't know who made the pick for you.
I'll tell you what, if it works, Al's brother, just keep him off.
Yeah. If it doesn't, because Al's brother likes the Patriots tonight. He likes the points. He's on New England. So take that for what it's worth. We'll see. It's going to be a fun one tonight. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.